Welcome to Starkville.
Baseball Hall of Famer Jason Stark.
And then the robot said, strike.
That's why you're going in the Hall of Fame.
It's an inside the park home run, Doug Glanville.
Mike Trout is coffee at Starbucks with a double latte, skinny.
Doug, are you ready to make some podcast magic?
I am ready. Bring on the magic wand. Let's do it. Welcome to this Eclipse edition of Starkville. And we're excited that you're going to join us on a journey of the celestial nature. And but I have to first start off that this opening act is not going to be with Jason Stark, my partner, because he is actually observing the eclipse himself in Texas. And I told him, look, you don't have to go anywhere. Starkville is everywhere. And so wherever the eclipse is, if as long as you're in Starkville, you will see it. Or in this case, you won't see it, as in the sun. So he mentioned that he wants to do this. It's a family tradition. And that he likes to have this journey through the celestial worlds because it brings centering to him. I appreciate that. And I'm reminded of great players in the past that have had certain spiritual journeys like this and have had great years. Giancarlo, a.k.a. Mike Stanton, I don't know, where did he go? He went to the Far East and came back a changed man, hit 50 whatever home runs. R.A. Dickey, teammate of mine in Texas. What did he do? He climbed like Kilimanjaro and he came back. He was a Cy Young Award winner. So it's obvious that the answer to baseball is in the offseason, do something that's so earth-shattering and soul-moving that you win the Cy Young Award and MVP. That's how you do it. So I wish I did that. I did go to Puerto Rico, and I did feel like that was my moment, but it's very different than the eclipse. So, Jason, if you're out there, which you are, I appreciate you. I know you told us that animals do strange things at eclipse. The nocturnal animals come out and be like, what the heck is going on? We have all kinds of things that are unusual. But Starkville, we're always unusual because this is what we love to do. So I'm looking forward to it. As Jason, I wish you well, and I hope to come back with enlightenment when you get back, because Starkville always could use another statue, and I'm going to make one to you watching the eclipse. And so part of our eclipse broadcast today is our special guest, who's been on and been in Starkville multiple times. He has no GPS necessary. He just finds it with his soul. Jason Benetti, the new announcer of the Detroit Tigers, friend, family, in some way. We'll talk about the fact that he was with the White Sox for all these years. And 8 years, I didn't realize it was that long. I used to do games with Jason way back in the Little League World Series days. Super talented guy and absolutely hilarious and a great fit to unearth what we need to understand about the eclipse in baseball. I mean, the Cleveland Guardians are doing a whole thing around the eclipse. So you know this is special. So all as a space guy myself, Jason Benetti is the right person. After all, he did have Bill Walton, and he worked with him many times, so he knows what it is to talk at a higher level.
Okay, it's time for me to join the show. Me would be Jason. Doug, thanks for handling the heavy lifting before I got here and before I go. And if you're listening to this, it may seem like I'm in Starkville. Actually, I'm not. Today's the big solar eclipse day, so I'm really in Eclipseville, not Starkville. Does that make sense? No.
It does, but Starkville is everywhere. It is in our soul. So there's really, you can be anywhere and you can be everywhere, and you're always in Starkville.
That's right. That's well said. Better than I said it. So in honor of that, today we're going to talk eclipse, but so much more with our special guest, a guy who always brings the sunshine. Get it? It's the great Jason Benetti, now the play-by-play voice of those Detroit Tigers for Bally Sports Detroit. Jason, welcome back to Starkville. How the heck are you?
Thank you. I think I need a roadmap to figure out where everybody is. But if there's like a Rand McNally situation, I'd love to be able to use it. It's great to be here, wherever we are.
Yeah, where are you? Who even knows, right? Listen, it's incredible to me that the schedule makers sent you right back to Chicago for your first series with the Tigers. We'll get into that shortly, but since it's National Total Eclipse Day in America, and I am actually eclipse watching, we need to talk about eclipses, which, Jason, I know is your very favorite topic. Am I right?
Honestly, and I haven't told you this, but so when I was growing up, I think I was in fourth grade, and there was one of these eclipses. And the teachers made it very clear that we weren't to look directly into it while we were out at recess. That created, surprisingly enough, a fear of this sort of thing for me. Not like a major phobia where I'm not going to be okay today, but I remember just being like, why do we have the window curtains open? Why don't we have the shades closed? If we can't look directly, like it was a hashtag not the takeaway sort of situation. They were just basically like, don't look directly into the sun. And my response was, don't look outside ever.
Fair enough. You're just
haven't been outside since, obviously.
Clearly. Well, look at how pale I am. Craig Monroe in spring training referred to me as an outdoorsman, unironically. And I said, SEMO. And we came on camera. I said, my skin is the tone of a hospital light bulb. Do not ever call me an outdoorsman again.
Right. You're noted indoorsman.
Yes.
That's a declining niche in life, but you got it nailed. You do. Jason, do you know anything else about eclipses outside of the fact that you should never go outside?
So I haven't done my full research for the game yet with the Pirates for the Tigers, and that is going to be a cram session very shortly here. But no, I shouldn't be outside. I know they're extraordinarily rare, so I have to imagine that you adore them because of their rarity score.
I do. I'm going to tell you all about my eclipse experiences at some point here, but I need to ask you something first. If you were still with the White Sox, you would be in Cleveland right now for their home opener, where they have literally built the whole pregame schedule scene around the eclipse. So I think we've actually stumbled upon the secret reason that you left the White Sox. You just told us you're terrified of eclipses. Mm-hmm. Is there any truth to that very logical guess I just made?
No, two things. Number one, I think I have to get over it today. Number two, I can't even listen to Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart without getting mistakes. I'm actually very excited for this because, you know, I'm joking about that. I did have a fear when I was a kid. Like, I absolutely did. But I love, like, a couple friends of mine have gone to see the Northern Lights. Like, they've gone to Iceland to see the Northern Lights. And and the depth and the breadth of this world, these moments are actually kind of hysterical to me because we have so much figured out in our current society. And then suddenly, like, oh, you think your games are interesting? You think you want to start at 3:10? Guess what? You can't because, you know, the sun's going to disappear.
That's right.
Who needs the sun anyway?
Yeah. Doug, what do you know about eclipses?
Well, you know, one object blocks another object. I think that's the depth of it. And I just think...
You don't know which object blocks which, though, do you? You don't know.
Doesn't matter. And Starkville being ubiquitous...
It totally matters.
We're always blocked. And I think the beauty of this is, like, you know, first of all, Cleveland's not playing it right. You need to go all in on the eclipse. You need to play a game with the eclipse going on completely. You provide specialty shades. You get a license for that. Of course, you sell them for $5 a pop. So there's an opportunity for a revenue stream. And then I just want to see what happens in a baseball game when there's eclipse going on, of pop up to shortstop. I just, you know, when we have to see that. This is must watch TV. Must watch TV.
But don't look directly at the television.
No, you can't do that. That's true. We have to apply shades for all the fans that are watching on TV. That's another revenue stream.
How about
missed opportunity? You changed your name. Okay, so let's move. Let's go to the next level. Once you change your name, you can do anything. You're the Guardians now. You are Guardians of the Sun. I don't know if there's a Greek god in that name. Must be, you know, Ra or something like that. Zeus. Zeus probably wasn't the sun god.
I think Ra. I think Amon-Ra, right? I think you had it.
Amon-Ra? Oh, I was right? Okay. All right,
you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown?
A little different society. I was Greece, Egypt, you know, same ballpark. And pyramids. So I feel very strongly that this was the opportunity that Cleveland had. I think they're throwing it all away. It's too bad.
Well, you know, I've got a good money-making idea for them. How about they sell, you know, you need eclipse glasses, right?
And oh, yeah.
So the outfielders, instead of running out into the field with shades, with Oakleys, would have flipped down eclipse glasses.
Yeah, sponsored by the Webb Telescope. I mean, you got to go next level. SpaceX has got to get involved. I'm very curious, as an announcer, Jason, can you imagine calling a pop-up into the eclipse? I mean, first of all, you'd be revolutionizing something. But I think it'd be pretty amazing.
Well, two things. I don't know why this just hit me, but I think Helios is the god of sun in Greece.
Yeah,
I think
like
so. And then two, I think we have a whole category of conversation that Jason's going to really love, because I've always, and I think a lot of people have felt like, well, when you lose the ball in the sun, people, you know, people call that a hit, right? Like the official score is like, well, he lost it in the sun. Yeah. It's got to be a hit. It's not an error. By definition, it is the absence of sun, right? The sun is being obscured by the moon. And so now, like, he lost it in the moon, right? I don't know that official scorers are equipped for this.
Suppose he loses it in the corona.
Right.
That's really interesting.
And without a line.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen.
In the moon.
Trust me. In the moon. That corona is pretty freaking distracting.
Is it the center of the corona or the penumbra of the corona?
Ooh, penumbra.
Wow. It's the first use of penumbra in any conversation in Starkville history, by the way.
And I think, the scorer has to adapt to, you know, you have to do the instant replay to decide to look at the scoring, because the corona is different than the penumbra and the moon. Maybe it's a two-base error. Maybe it's a fielder's choice. We'll just call it a fielder's choice.
Suddenly,
or Helios,
the
choice.
Galaxy
Helios
has become the Tropicana Field ground rules.
Yes. Isn't that? I always thought that's what the Trop was trying to emulate.
Yeah, is this the galaxy? This is that was into the C ring,
the cosmos
of the eclipse, and since it hit the C ring of the eclipse, it's a live ball.
Is there a cat? Is there a catwalk in front of the sun? There must be a catwalk in front of the sun somewhere. I figured, let's just, you know, it's
got to
be one.
We got 93 million miles to play with, so somewhere there must be one. Listen, you guys seem like you're pretty low on eclipse knowledge. You're just kind of making this stuff up as you go along. So, do you want to ask me any eclipse questions? Because we did do a big family eclipse trip to Oregon to watch the previous eclipse in 2017. In fact, I got my eclipse t-shirt on here. I don't know if you can see this.
Oh,
oh my.
That's nice.
That's my 2017 eclipse t-shirt.
Nice. I love it.
It's a quality item.
Yes, please share. Please share.
Okay, well, all right, here's what you need to know about this. All right, so we had like 30-something people on the side of a mountain in Oregon. Mm-hmm. This is true, okay? And so we set up our lawn chairs. We had our funky eclipse glasses. And we had the greatest picnic in the history of eclipses. Okay? So we were having a day. And then this thing happened that we'd never experienced in our lives. Here's the way I try to describe it to people. We've lived on Earth for a long time, correct?
Mm-hmm. Pretty long.
Yeah.
Pretty long.
We know what it looks like. We know what it feels like. This wasn't it. This was a totally different thing. Because it doesn't just get dark out. Everything in the universe changes for a few minutes. Like, it starts to get dark in the daytime, and the animals freak out. We're on the side of a mountain, remember? Right. Okay, the birds, like, freak out. They're flying into each other. They're going in all different directions. They think it just turned night. And the temperature drops by like 40 degrees in a minute. And this thing happens to the sun that I don't know how to describe what it is, but we were crying. Our whole family was in tears because it is so emotional to see this thing that you could never even imagine could happen in the world. And it's happening. And we're watching it. And I don't know if I just described it okay to you, but here's my advice. If you ever have the chance to go see one of these total solar eclipses, whether they happen to pass through the ballpark during batting practice or not, you should do this because it's amazing. It was so amazing that when it was over and we all kind of like regained consciousness, we said, when's the next one? Okay, so that's why I seem to be in Starkville, but I'm not really in Starkville because we're doing it again as a family. Ooh. Okay, got any more questions?
So what do the animals do?
Okay, well, I kind of have exact accounts for you of what like the raccoons and the mountain lions do.
Right.
But there's a certain subset of animals that are nocturnal, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. That means they only come out at night and they sleep all day. Well, they all come out.
Is this a Hall & Oates? Is it Hall & Oates, Manny? It sounds like you're using lyrics from Hall & Oates. All right,
none of us actually got eaten, I can't vouch for that part. Okay,
but only comes out at night. Okay,
the animals that only come out at night and not in the day, mm-hmm. then come out in the day and say, "What the heck is this? They're having a picnic." Okay, so that's one thing I remember.
Let me eat you. Free food.
Right, and the birds go crazy. I don't speak bird. I don't know what all that chirping was about, but there was a lot of volume of chirping. A lot.
Wow.
They were just throwing out the challenge flag. They were just challenging the call.
Let's review whether if a guy loses a ball in an eclipse, that's a ground rule double.
Did their wings go over their ears to make this challenge it?
They were flying around wondering where they could buy eclipse glasses. That's what it seemed like to me.
Where did you get your eclipse glasses? Game?
Pardon
That's
me?
True. Where did you get your glasses?
All right, so there are a number of people in my family who orchestrate the eclipse trip. Mm-hmm. I would be described as not one of those.
Okay.
Okay, so the eclipse glasses were there. They handed them to me. I put them on. I can show you. Excellent. I can show you some photos. Text you some photos of me wearing the eclipse glasses.
Very cool. I love it.
If you'd like, me and my eclipse T-shirt, the whole family with our eclipse glasses. All that stuff is available if you really want to relive it.
I love this. I love how excited. Game? I'm sorry, Doug. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just curious. If it was a day game or a night game during an eclipse? The Cleveland does it.
Well,
is that a day game or a night game?
It's a late afternoon start. So, like, the BP schedule is arranged for people as it gets, I think it gets to 90-something percent of totality. There'll be no baseball activity then. People will be watching a freaking eclipse, weather permitting, by the way.
All right, I was just hoping it's a night game. And then I think you could have all the mascots simulate what the animals do during the eclipse, since most of them.
Yes,
I think that would be really amazing.
Yeah, I want you guys to stage the next baseball eclipse.
Yeah,
that is brilliant.
Because Jason would have to go outside.
Yeah, no. So, right, that's a no for me. But I would say, the lawyer in me now asks. If people come to the game and for some reason are like, you know, the jurors in the OJ trial who had heard nothing about it and were able to be impaneled, right? If you are a person who has not heard that the eclipse is going to happen, you buy a ticket to the game and you are in the ballpark when the eclipse happens and you haven't been notified. Say you're in the bathroom when the announcement happens. You come out. is the team liable for you being injured by the disappearance of the sun in that moment?
Doug, what do you think? What do you think on this one?
That's a great. I have to consult my wife on this one.
yeah,
that is really interesting. It's like what do they call that? When you leave like a swing set open, and it's like it's a sort of type of negligence right there. Like even though like there was a fence around it, but if you don't you do enough, you know. So yeah, that's very interesting. Some sort of negligence by the team.
Yeah, it's sure a tort that... suit waiting to happen. I would say there's an act of God clause, probably, right? Although then you get into whether or not God handles the celestial issues, and that becomes a bureaucratic nightmare.
Oof. Well, yeah, Helios, we're not going there.
I think you sue Helios, though. You could sue Helios. He doesn't have. I don't think he has a good lawyer.
No, he does not. All right, like this. This segment has really gone off the rails.
Oh, like you didn't see that coming. You asked us to pepper you with a clip of questions. Like we're the bad. Doug and I are the bad influences on you, Eclipse T-shirt guy.
That's right. So because it's gone off the rails, we're going to take it further off the rails. I have this goofy idea that we should come up with an all Eclipse team.
Oh,
so why don't we do it like draft style? We'll only have like we won't have many rounds of this thing. But
yeah, I don't know.
You want me to start?
Yeah, I don't know any names, but I'm gonna you could loan me.
Oh yeah, like the I don't know. The obvious one would be Sonny Gray.
Sonny, okay. Yeah,
I'll take him with the first pick.
So
Jason,
you can't have it without the moon crossing in front. So I'm gonna go Fernando Lunar.
Very good.
Oh, that's
good. Very good. Doug, that leads to a very obvious first round pick by you. You're not going to get it, are you?
Blue Moon Odom? Is there a Blue Moon Odom?
Oh, that's a good one.
It's all right. It's good, but we're off the sun theme.
Oh, so, you got to break it.
Okay.
Oh, moon block. Okay.
Isn't Sunny. Like after Jason's pick, isn't Jorge Soler? Doesn't he have to be the next pick?
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you. Thank you.
You could also go.
Hi, Jason.
My next pick will be Pat Light.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I like that. I hadn't thought of that one. That's very good. Doug, do you have a second round pick or do you want to pass?
I mean, Moonlight Graham. I mean, why not?
Well, that's a good one.
Very good. Now we're talking. Now we got this thing going now. I want to leave you guys some great possibilities. So, Sun-Woo Kim, what do you think?
Love it.
That's right. That's
fantastic.
Right. Sun-Woo, yeah.
Sunny. They call him Sunny.
I like it.
All right. Jason Benetti has the next pick.
Ray King.
Was he the Sun King?
Yeah. I mean, look, we have to have somebody in charge of the realm, right? If we're going to lose it, if we're not going to have any rays, we need to call him.
That's right. People will come, Ray. Doug, I don't know what round we're in, but do you have a pick?
I don't even know if I have a pick here. Scott, is there a guy named Scott Corona? Does he exist?
He's drinking a beverage right now, but I don't know if that's a real thing. All right, this is I think my favorite one. Johnny Eclipstein. Johnny Eclipstein was a pitcher back in the 50s that I ran across, or 60s, that I ran across on Baseball Reference. So Johnny Eclipstein, top that one, boys.
The only other one that I can think of, I'm out after this, is Razor Shines.
That's very good. I love that. One of the greatest names in history.
That's right.
Okay, I got one more for you, but we'll give Doug a chance.
Oh no, I'm enjoying one more of these. I hadn't thought about it to this depth. Razor Shines, though.
That's quality. It is. I mean, are you passing, Doug?
Night,
you want me to
day.
Take your pick?
Oh, you can take my pick. Yeah.
Okay, this will be the final pick, and then we'll talk some actual baseball. How about your friend and mine, Rowdy Tellez Scope?
Oh boy.
Telescope.
Well, that's if Rowdy Tellez and Jonathan Scope somehow.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Okay.
I like it.
Has any, that was special. Has any Cosmo ever played Major League Baseball? Is there a Cosmo?
I did do some poking Rocket, around on, any on baseball reference.
Rocket. There, I, well, Roger Clemens. There
was a, oh, the Rocket. Rocket. There's Bill Spaceman Lee.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's no actual Rockets in eclipses, Doug.
Yeah, I guess that's pushing it.
There so better you, not like you be were, or else you... my fear is coming back.
Right? Doug, you were the one who wanted, who thought maybe Paul we Bird. Should get Bill Spaceman Lee on the show, and then you didn't even pick him on your team.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Paul Bird, since you're talking about birds going crazy, I figured that could be interesting.
Doug, do you think Paul Bird goes crazy when the eclipse happens? Yeah. Starts flying in the opposite direction?
Just starts swirling around.
He doesn't know why.
He's like, what's wrong with Paul Bird?
This has been fun, boys. Do you think we should talk any baseball? What do you think? Should we talk to Jason Tigers. About his life and times?
Yeah,
they're pretty interesting.
The Tigers. How did he get to Detroit?
Yeah. All right. So we did mention this way back before we tried to eclipse the rest of the show. But your Jason, your very first series as a broadcaster for the Tigers was against the White Sox in Chicago. As everyone knows, you were the voice of the White Sox for 8 years. So what was that like? How did that happen?
Yeah.
That's a Tim Kirkson imitation, by the way.
I was wondering. it was wild. But I will say, you know, with this getting announced in early November and doing college football and college basketball and just being around people at games, I got a lot of the emotion out before. Because it was like, oh, hey, we're sorry to see you go, or we're happy to have you, or the couple people who were like, good riddance, finally, you're gone. I'm sick of your sense of humor sort of thing, which is awesome. But no, it was really interesting, I especially because when I got the White Sox job, and Doug and I had worked together at ESPN, and I've known you both for a long while now, but I spent a lot of time in the minors, like 10 years, trying to figure out if this was going to happen, you know, and trying to make a career of this thing and inching and inching and inching. When I got the White Sox job, people didn't really have any idea what I was, who I was, unless they had watched some basketball or baseball on ESPN, whatever it might be at the time. And so I get the job and people sort of grew up with me in Major League Baseball. With the Tigers, they had 8 years of tape that they could watch. So I almost felt like a different person. It was like act two or act three of this career when for so long, I mean, Jason, you know how it works at Syracuse, like you battle and you battle and you grow as an announcer and all this stuff. Then you go through the minors and suddenly you've made this thing happen. And you didn't even mean to. Like, I wanted to be a radio guy for a college when I first started out. I never really had TV aspirations. So then for a fan base to react to what happened in the way they did, especially in the second inning, and to feel that sort of love, everybody will tell you that they don't need it, and that's not why they do it. And it's not why I do this career, to have adulation. That's not why I love the language and why I love the game and broadcasting. But man, it feels really nice when people say, hey, we really appreciated what you did, and our entire crew did, and all of that. And I was extremely grateful to the White Sox. They didn't have to do it, especially with the way things ended. You know, they didn't have to. And for me to show up there and for them to do that was a really classy thing. And to have the fans react like they did, I was extremely, extremely touched.
Hey, I'm really happy for you because you deserve all of that. But of course, we know that you arranged the schedule so that the Tigers would open against the White Sox in Chicago. You want to confirm that?
Yeah, so Commissioner Manfred and I agreed a couple of years ago that I get one thing. And I just called him. I said, hey, Rob, quick thing. Can we make the schedule as such? No, it was, and honestly, I didn't spend much time at all in the home TV booth. But I did walk in on Saturday and just say to John Schriffen, the new White Sox TV guy, like, I am sorry that the schedule came up like it did, because he deserves to have an opening day where the new guy's not there. Like, it's a special day to call your first major league game and to have just me be there. Not that, like, I overshadowed or eclipsed him, quote unquote. Like, that's not what I mean at all. Dot, dot, dot. Like, joke, 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 eclipse, joke. But, like, what I mean is, like, it's hard enough to get to the majors. And there is a moment where, like, it's as though three people were to make their major league debut on the same day. And, you know, one of them was like a bigger prospect than the others. They shouldn't be outsized. There's none of that. And I'm not saying I was outsized in that way. I'm not trying to sound like I have that sort of ego. That's not what I mean at all in any way. But he deserved to have a day where I wasn't there. And it turned up that I was.
Yeah, John. And yeah, I mean, and like, how about the Tiger family? You know, I guess what was so compelling about that opportunity in Detroit?
Yeah, the questions they asked me in the interview process were a lot about why fan bases matter, how to connect with a fan base, why you do this, what's important as a teammate, what is a great TV crew? All of these questions that you'd want to ask if you were going to go to be a part of a team. And I'm not saying that that's to the exclusion of other people ever doing that, but I think that's kind of a rarity in the way people hire announcers. And there does end up being ego in the idea of an announcer and all of this. And you have this big platform, and the Tigers see it as a community position. And that is a credit in a lot of ways, I think, to Ernie Harwell. It's a credit to Dan Dickerson, the Tigers' current radio announcer who worked with Ernie. It's a credit to Al Kaline and George Kell. It's a credit to Mario and Rod, who had a wonderful reputation. It's a credit to Matt Shepard, who was in the seat for the last 5 years. Detroit has, and Matt being a local product, right? Detroit has always had people who are woven within the fabric of the community as announcers. I mean, as I was reading more in the offseason after I was hired about what happened with Ernie Harwell for the year that he was displaced from his job, and then he was hired right back with the change in ownership and everything that went along with it, it is a position that matters deeply in so many ways in the heart of the Detroit community. And so it's, you know, people say it in press releases, but it's an honor to sit in the chair because it has mattered so much to be the voice of the Tigers, just in the happiness of the people in the city. That, you know, when I was just, we were just at the last week when we were in New York, we were at the Jackie Robinson Museum, and we were talking, a couple of us there, about there's this little framed apology card from the Dodgers to their fans after they lost 1 year. And it was like, we're sorry we let you down. And the civic duty that corporations, organizations used to have across America, like when you first started as a corporation, there was a civic duty to your town, to your municipality, whatever it is, that doesn't exist in the code nearly as much anymore. And I think the Tigers still do have that sensibility about them, even if it's not codified in like the charter.
You know, that is so true. I've driven to Lakeland in spring training many, many, many times over many years. And one of the things I used to love to do was on my way from my car to the clubhouse or through the gates of the park, was to stop by the Tigers parking lot where they had the sign that said reserved for Ernie Harwell. And there was just something about that that said something special, because the names of the other spaces were legends, you know? And Jason, did you get your own space this spring?
I have breaking news on how the standards have lessened over time, Jason. I was floored. I got to spring training. I asked where to park, and they said, you have a spot. And I pulled in, and I looked to my right, and the placard for the spot next to me, directly to my right, was Jim Leland's. And I thought, wow.
Not bad.
There is a gulf in that chalked yellow line. I mean, it's amazing how they treat people. It really is. There is a deep understanding of how baseball can touch everyone and why legends are important. And even just like the mural by the clubhouse in spring training and how much detail went into people knowing who the greats are that came through Detroit. I have to say I have been awed by their dedication to history mattering.
That's really cool. And, change is good. Change is invigorating. Change can also be disruptive. What has this change been for you?
Well, AJ Hinch laughed at me as I got on the bus in New York last week because I had already packed two suitcases and I had a bunch of suits for the first road trip. And I thought, I'll squeeze them into my bag, one of those two bags. And I couldn't. I'm like scrambling the last day on Sunday in Chicago to jam all of these clothes into one of two suitcases. So I literally walked onto the bus holding like six suits and shirts. And I didn't get two steps. And I hear AJ cackling in the front row. He's like, can we get you a bag? Can we? You would think you'd have a suitcase. And I was like, dude, I already have two. So yeah, it's been a wild ride. It really has. And it's not exactly over in terms of disruption and in terms of like moving fully from Chicago to Detroit. The Tigers are helping with my housing for this year. They're very gracious about that because they knew the upheaval that was going to happen. But, it's not as though I was thinking about this actually in Chicago. If announcers were traded at the deadline, that would be unbelievably awkward, but it also would help us speak to the guys who were up and down from AAA, who are traded at the deadline. Like if I showed up in Chicago on August 3rd after doing a White Sox home game on July the 30th, that would have been a problem. Right. And they got like, I don't know, a couple of boxes of snow caps or something for me. And I walked into the other booth. That would be strange. This was more, I got it all out and I heard from so many people. It's a different day and age. 20 years ago, if that happened and we didn't have all this phone access to people, immediate texting. I mean, that little red bubble above iMessage was as large as it's ever been in my life the day this all happened. And I've talked to so many.
Yeah, I think I contributed.
Yeah, right. I appreciate it. Everybody, I appreciate the heck out of it. But also we have this ability to connect immediately now. And so it doesn't feel as, I think, emotional in an overflowing way on a day like that, on opening day.
Mm-hmm. And so what's it been like just sort of getting to know some of the players? And I mean, I have the, one of my many polls, I have the Tigers is like kind of my dark horse in the AL Central. I see a lot of talent. What connects you to this team?
Yeah, the first connection was AJ Hinch. I mean, my first year with the White Sox, the Astros were in early, and Steve Stone and I went down to AJ's office, and we spent 35, 40 minutes with AJ. And my immediate thought was, that dude is smart. Like, that dude knows what he's doing. And he's a bit of a kindred spirit in that I did those StatCast games at ESPN, and I love it. That's the way I've learned baseball in some ways. The analytics have helped me understand people, and then you get to know people in the minors as well. And so it's a combination thereof. But the way AJ sees a lineup, the way he sees everything on the field is different. And so that was the first touchstone. And the second major touchstone was January of 2020, right before the pandemic hit. I had a game in Tempe with the great Tim Sullivan producing, and it was Arizona State against Colorado, and Bill Walton was my partner. And Bill Walton, Tim Sullivan, and I went to Tempe Diablo Stadium, and Sully set up a bit where Spencer Torkelson, future 1-1 pick, is going to teach Bill Walton how to hit. And so Bill is standing in the batting cage in full catcher's regalia, while Torque is teaching him extraordinarily patiently, I might add, how to hit the baseball. And Bill's doing everything that Bill does in such a wonderful, joyous way. But we spent like an hour and a half, I want to say, with Torque that day and the Arizona State folks. And I actually had a Fox game last year in 2023. And I walked into the Tigers clubhouse and Torque goes, how's Bill? So he very clearly remembers how that went. So, you know, by being around, I've got some history with a couple guys, and I had done Casey Mize's college regional at one point for ESPN, and so I've called their games. I know a couple of the guys, and you just build from there.
Bill Walton hitless since that session, though, I'm pretty sure. Right? Oh, that,
why do you put me in a binary world? Is what he would say.
Right. That's a great segue. One last question. It's the day of the national championship game in college hoops as people listen to this. We're recording in advance. We don't know who's going to play in that game, but I'm just going to take a wild guess and ask you about UConn, because you've called UConn basketball for Fox and FS1 along the way these last two seasons. Am I right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So how would you describe that team? They're amazing.
So I described, true, after watching their shoot around this year, which I thought was actually different even in terms of elevated level of strategy and number of sets that they're running, I described their offense on the air to Bill Raftery as like a great lasagna, that there's always a next better layer. And he said something like, after I did the lasagna thing, he goes, you ever have Irish stew? And I was like, no. He goes, just wondering. And I was like, is there an analogy? And he was like, no. And we just moved on.
Swimming around.
One of the funniest people in American history, Bill Raftery. UConn, though, UConn's offense is unbelievably sophisticated. I said to Dan Hurley after the shoot around back in February when we had them against Butler that he should try to meet Mike McDaniel of the Miami Dolphins, because I do think their sensibility of how to manipulate motion and space is very similar. In what I know, limited, I haven't seen a practice of Mike McDaniel, but reading about him and hearing him with Rich Eisen, et cetera, I do think they have sort of similar sensibilities. And Dan Hurley just demands so much from his players in terms of processing speed. I love seeing that, because they're like on the vanguard of what college basketball can be, even with NIL and even with all the stuff that people tend to take as negatives for team behavior. That's a little bit of a straw man, because UConn has an amazing team environment. And the players are also getting NIL, and they demand a ton from their brains. I think it's a fascinating story, and it's hard for me to watch if it is them against Purdue as we're taping this, because Robbie Hummel has become one of my best friends in the world, former colleague at ESPN, now at Fox. He's one of the best analysts in the country, and what that win in the Elite Eight meant to him and to that program. You know, Robbie's a really like tough guy, and he was just so emotional, and I'm so happy for him and for Matt Painter that they have bounced back from that horrible loss last year.
To Teaneck, New Jersey, Fairleigh Dickinson.
Teaneck.
And did you just say space?
Oh, boy.
Is it amazing how we can come full circle on this show? We can get to all this stuff. Like, Jason, we could talk to you all day about baseball, celestial events, hoops, and everything
else. We missed on one thing. We've talked space and we've talked baseball, but we haven't talked about Spaceballs, one of the great Mel Brooks movies of all time. So only one man would dare give me the raspberries. Lone Star.
Okay, and yet now we have.
And now, sorry.
We checked every box, okay? So you can go now. Listen, man, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Please keep up the fantastic work and come back and see us again in Starkville.
I love Starkville. There's a great hotel right around the corner from the Chamber of Commerce. It's a boutique hotel. It just opened a couple years ago. The manager's been really kind to me, and they have a great breakfast.
They do. Well, when you return, you can explain to me why there's so many players on the Tigers roster that have two last names. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm just going to leave you with that thought, and we could come back to that.
And one with two first names, right. Justin Henry, yes. Malloy.
Oh yeah. So yeah. Must be a requirement, prerequisite in Tigerland.
Doug, you're in charge of the Starkville Boutique Hotel, okay? Get that going, the construction.
Free breakfast.
Beautiful. All right. Let's let Jason go on with the rest of his life.
Yes.
Watch out for... Just don't go outside, whatever you do.
Oh, don't worry. I won't.
Strange but true.
Well, as always, we are completely thrilled to have our special guest. And by the way, it's just me again. I don't know what happened with Jason during the eclipse, but I think he was actually teleported. He Star Trek'd out of here. So he's gone again. He's gone. It's just me. So I know a little bit of a pendulum swing, but that's what you can do in the space world. You can just teleport. You can travel. You can Star Trek your way around the world. And speaking of eclipses, there's nobody going to eclipse the Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, come on. Who's going to beat these guys? I mean, I did pick the San Diego Padres on this show, but I always reserve the right to change my answer. I'm not doing it right now. However, the Los Angeles Dodgers, I got to see them the first week, and wow. So I did decide that the metrics today are not very sophisticated. I know we have FIP and F-War and all these things that maybe some of us don't even understand, but they're cool. And I think they'd actually have a lot of value. So I'm not an anti-analytics guy. You know that. I love it. I was an engineer. However, there's not enough metrics. There's just not enough. And we need more. So I decided to create my own. I call it the BOF. That's right. B-O-F. BOF. Now, since I'm talking about the Dodgers, many of you have already figured it out. That's Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman. You have three MVPs. You have three probably Hall of Famers. You have three of the best players in baseball, and they all hit in a row. So just statistically, I believe that they're going to do something we've never seen before for three players. First of all, they have different styles, right? Ohtani, the power game, he pulls the ball. He hits lefties. He can pitch, by the way, when he feels like it, when he comes back. We also have Freddie Freeman, control, back control, two-strike hitter. If it's in the zone, he's swinging. He's hitting it. Amazing. Great first baseman. Pick the ball. He's the governor. He's the president. He's everything. That's Freddie Freeman. And then there's Mookie Betts. This is the magic man. He does it all. He can play second. He can play short. He can play right. He wins gold gloves everywhere. He disappears. He's like wherever. Pitch. Maybe he's going to catch this year. Mookie Betts steals bases, runs the bags, hits home runs, enters the home run derby, then out bowls you. And then he's related to royalty, literally. That's Mookie Betts. Meghan Markle, if you're listening to this podcast, what's her official name? The Duchess of Sussex. I might have gotten that wrong. But if I'm right, Meghan Markle, I appreciate you listening because Mookie Betts is that amazing. And make him king. Just make him king right now. So the BOF, let me get back to my stats. The BOF. So we have to mark down all the things these guys are going to do that we've never seen before. So I believe we're going to see things that we've never seen before. They're going to hit back-to-back-to-back home runs, back-to-back-to-back, and then they're going to do it again in the same inning. Okay, so I'm just going to start there. Now, we know that Ohtani is a two-way hitter. He will find a way to pitch to himself this year. I know he's hurt, he's coming back, but I believe in September, because they would have exhausted all the things you can't even imagine in baseball, on a baseball field, he will find a way to pitch to himself. And Mookie Betts, maybe he'll actually clone himself. I don't know. There also will be a moment that the Dodgers are going to say, you know what? We will beat you with six players. We're not even going to field, and we're going to put Betts at short, Betts at second, Betts at right field. Freeman at first, Freeman at third, Ohtani pitching, Ohtani in center, Betts in left, and then we'll put Freeman behind the plate as a lefty. But he throws righty, right? Yeah, so that's fine. So that's what we're going to do. And I think those guys will literally beat a lot of major league teams. They could just put six guys and then just use the three of them. And then they're going to double themselves. I know it doesn't make sense because there's three and then there's six. But I'm thinking of doubling them and then tripling them for nine. And so I think we're going to see that this year in 2024. So we know the greatness, but let's look at some of their stats as of this broadcast right here. Okay, I'm going to pull it up right here. Someone has a 485 batting average with a 1686 OPS. Someone is very much disappointing the world with 270 batting average with 749 OPS, which will go up by 1,000 by tomorrow. And there's the other dude, 375, 1031 OPS. That's ridiculous. That's their top three hitters. So if I'm a pitcher today, we are going to also see them intentionally walk all three batters in a row. That's the right thing to do. Just walk all three of them. There's going to come a time where you walk all three of those guys to get to Will Smith to hit a grand slam, because that's how good the Dodgers are. Because their number four hitter will hurt you too. So, boff. So we're going to count the boffs, the number of boffs. It's a measure of doing something celestial. There's something that only Eclipse can to evoke in our emotion. And every time they do that, they're going to get a boff score of one. And we're just going to add it up at the end of the season and count all the things we've never seen before by three of the best players to ever play Major League Baseball. So we're wishing our good friend and my co-host Jason Stark a safe return from the land of the Eclipse in Texas. And as we know, the one thing that we really have to be, you know, one thing we have to protect against for Jason Stark, we did not give him the right type of defense, is Martians. Okay. And so if Martians become a problem after you see an eclipse, you are safe here in Starkville. So we're wishing him a safe return. No interception from UFOs or anything like that. And that he land safely on firm earth turf. I guess that's the term, earth turf and Terran soil. Jason, see you next week.